The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It is 2018. Yes, I know we're a couple weeks in already, but this is my first official visit back to the radio station after being away for on vacation for a couple weeks. And so I thank them for holding my spot here and letting me run some of our best of shows. Seems that the radio station's made some changes over the past couple weeks, too. If you haven't noticed, we've got some fresh new music that's coming to play. Catherine's moved to the afternoon shift, trying to do a request hour from 5 to 6, you know, as you're driving home from work and you're thinking to yourself, geez, you know, I'd really love to listen to some Billy Idol or maybe some John Mayer. You can actually start to request that stuff now. Music of all time. I think they're calling it adult contemporary hits with classic, adult contemporary music with classic hits or something like that. I don't have the nomenclature down just yet, but we'll get there. And I'm excited to expand the audience that is listening to the radio station and perhaps even listening to this radio show. If you're new to joining us, I've been doing this for almost more than 6 years on the radio. Been doing financial planning for 28 years. And our firm, Friedman Financial, which is located in Peabody, will be celebrating its 50th anniversary of providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley. My father started the firm back in 1968. And who would have ever thought back in 1968, yes, I was only two then, you can figure out how old I was, or old I am right now. Dad started the firm in 68, and the whole idea of financial planning, who needed financial planning back then? Remember when your parents or grandparents or great-grandparents were alive back in the late 60s, what did they have for money? Not much. Maybe they could save $25 a month, because for the most part, in retirement, they were going to support themselves on their pension. Maybe they worked for the GE or worked for Raytheon or worked for Kodak or Eastman Gelatin here in Peabody, some of those firms which are gone now. And they got their pension and they got their Social Security and they owned a home, maybe in Rolling Hills in Peabody, that was worth $19,900. And that was it. Maybe they had $1,000 in the bank. But no one worried there, because back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, you could get what? 5 to 15% on your money in the bank. If you all remember those times, well, some of us do. And if you're actually new to the radio station and you're a little bit, and you're under the age of perhaps 45, you don't remember those days at all, because that was back in the 80s. That's a long time ago, when interest rates were in, you know, 14, 15%. You could get it. Imagine buying a 10-year CD that would pay you 15%. Can we get that today? Absolutely not. And so that's why we put together this show. It's called Planning. It's called Dollars and Cents. The name of my newsletter is Planning Pointers. Our show is called Dollars and Cents, where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand. And that's what we look forward to doing each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. This is not a call-in radio show. Though we are here in the studio, we try to provide information that's based upon conversations and lessons that I've learned, stories that I've read over the past week. Because, look, we meet with individuals and families. I do this every single day. A little perspective on my office. We have 450 plus households that we serve. So I want you to think of a household as the mailbox at the end of your driveway. Maybe you and your spouse are clients. Maybe your kids are clients too. But whoever lives in that house, that is considered a household. So if all of your mail gets to that one mailbox, you're considered a household. We also, however, have, because my dad started the firm back in 1968, several generations of families. And many people truly appreciate that. We have, in one case, five generations of families from great-great-grandkids. know those 2 and 3 year olds may not be clients of ours face to face, but maybe grandma or grandpa has set up an investment account for them or started them on their way for their financial future. But what we work to do is try to get down to the details in a language you can understand so that you can make smart financial decisions for your situation. Look, I've talked about this many times, that there are so many radio and television ads that are available to you that talk about financial services, financial planning, retirement planning, all that kind of stuff. And at the end of the day, what all of those places are trying to do is sell you an investment product or get you to place money under their management. They talk about the dreams. They talk about the wishes. They talk about the challenges. They talk about taxes. They talk about everything to get you worried. And in fact, my father used to use the term to disturb you. But at the end of the day, if you don't have money to manage, they're really not interested in talking to you. And to be very honest, that's the case with most financial advisors. And part of what we do in our office is manage money. But one of the things that our clients have come to appreciate, we have a 98% retention rate in our office. We've been doing this, like I said, for 50 years. Is the reason that we have that retention rate is that people come to us for all areas of financial planning. When you think about financial planning, it's not just about, should I buy this large cap or small cap fund? What's the expense ratio in this fund? I want you to think of some of the other things that fall under the areas of financial planning. Think about cash flow and budgeting. No, I'm not going to help you set up a budget. I'm not going to help you say, well, you should only buy Stop and Shop brand green beans rather than Green Giant green beans. Or that you should go to, Rack Room Shoes to buy your shoes rather than going to the Finish Line. I'm not going to tell you that. Your lifestyle is your lifestyle. But what you need to understand is how much money comes into your household and how much money goes out of it. Because if more is going out than what's coming in, that is bad. That's not good. You don't need a rocket scientist to tell you that. But oftentimes, people are absolutely unaware of how much money comes in and how much money goes out. Well, one of the things that we work with our clients on is trying to help them understand that. Because imagine this. When you approach that magical retirement date, when it's time to say, you know what? I don't want a paycheck anymore. I'm going to stop working, and I'm going to rely on pension and Social Security. Oh, wait. There is no such thing as pension anymore. So what am I going to rely on? Social Security? No, it's Social Security and all of the money that you've put aside. Perhaps it's money in your 401k plan, money in Roth IRAs, maybe money in an annuity or an investment account or a bank account, whatever it might be. How do you spend the money? How do you spend the money? And how much will you need to spend in retirement? Well, the first thing that you need to do is you begin thinking about and preparing for retirement is to understand how much money is likely to come into the house that's guaranteed. Maybe that's called guaranteed money, Social Security. Perhaps you do have a small pension. That's coming into you. You know that's coming in. Now, is that money going to grow at the rate of inflation? Nope, not going to do that. But you have expenses. So how are you going to use the other money that you have to supplement the income that's coming in to support your life in retirement? And guess what? CDs aren't paying 5 and 15% anymore. So you can't simply say, well, I'll just live off the interest. You can't go anywhere really and just live off the interest unless you're a super, super millionaire. Imagine this. If you had $100,000 and you put it into the bank and the bank was offering a 1% CD, that year, over the course of the year, you would collect $1,000 from the $100,000 without having to worry about touching the principal. You'd get $1,000 from $100,000. How's that working out for you? So let's say you need $50,000 from your account. Do you know how much money you'd need to draw $50,000 if you could invest in something that paid 1%? How about putting $5 million in the bank? Could you imagine that? $5 million in the bank to spin off $50,000. That's insane. At $1 million, you only get $10,000. But people say, oh, I don't want to touch the principal. I don't want to touch the principal. Folks, we live in a world right now where touching the principal is a fact of life. But that's not a bad thing either. Because I want you to imagine yourself living in retirement and thinking about what would be passed on to the next generation, or perhaps whether you even want to pass money on to the next generation. It's really an interesting conversation when you ask folks what they want to do. And they begin to think about, well, do I want to sacrifice my life in retirement so that I can leave more money to the kids? Or do I want to maximize retirement and leave what's left to the kids? Those are two extremes, and maybe you're somewhere in the middle. But what is the answer to that question? Go ahead and ask your neighbors. Sit around a table when you go out for dinner with some couples and ask them what their plans are. You don't have to share financial information, but just ask them that question. Given the choice, would you sacrifice your retirement so your kids could have a better life after you've passed away? Or would you be willing to maximize your life in retirement and leave what's left to the kids? I believe, in fact, I've seen this happen multiple times, that it's about 50-50. I ask this question at every seminar I go to, every meeting that we hold with collections of clients or people that just come to attend one of the seminars that we do. And it's a really interesting phenomenon. What's the right answer? There is no right answer. There is no right answer. But one of the things that we have going for us today that we didn't have going for us before is we have equity and value in our homes. And many people forget the value, the equity value of your home that will be passed on to the next generation. Let's say you own a home. Look, the average home here in, I don't know, North Shore, Merrimack Valley, what is it, $400,000, $500,000? And many people have homes that are larger than that. Imagine if you passed away and your kids inherited your home and sold it for $500,000 and split that money between the number of them, whatever they are. Would that be enough? Would you be happy with that? Maybe. I'm not saying these are open-ended questions that I want you to explore. Because if that was the case, why would you just want to live off the interest on your investments? Because let's say you had $1 million. And let's say you could say, you know what? I want to comfortably take 4% from my $1 million investment. That's $40,000 a year. If your investment is managed and built and allocated appropriately, you should be able to structure a portfolio that will allow you to consistently draw 4% with having minimal impact on the principal. Sure, it will go up, it'll go down a little bit, but you're not going to spend it down, probably. So imagine that you have that $1 million still left over and the value of the house. Now you got $1.5 million. And you think to yourself, $1.5 million? What are my kids going to do? What are my kids going to do if they inherited $1.5 million from us? Well, I know what your kids are going to do because our experience tells us what they're going to do. Being in this business for 50 years, we've managed through the lifestyles of many, many generations of families. And I will tell you this, what you anticipate your family, what you anticipate your children or the beneficiaries of your money will do with the cash is not going to happen. They can tell you that all they want. But the world we live in today, the kids think about money a lot differently. Think about this. When you were 30, 40 years old, were you making $300,000 a year? Were you ever making that kind of money? And you go, oh my God, if I made $100,000, I was a hero. And now the kids are making $300,000 and they can't cover their own expenses. They're building credit card debt. They're putting on big mortgages on their homes. They're leveraging everything. And so what do you think they're going to do with the money when they inherit it from you? You think they're going to pay off their debts? Maybe. Maybe they'll buy something else. But will they invest it for their future? Well, we'll talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. If I had a $1 million. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. We've been providing financial planning and investment advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and even that southern New Hampshire area for almost 50 years. April will be our 50-year anniversary. Our office, easily findable now. If you've been to Alto Forno, the new Northern Italian restaurant located on Cross Street in Peabody, just across from the North Shore Mall, it's part of the trilogy of great restaurants built by the Mamola family. They have Palana, they have Daniela's, and now Alto Forno. It's a brand new building. They're on the first floor. We have the second floor. And that's the only two organizations that are in that building. So if you'd like to swing by, schedule a free initial consultation, give us a call. Whatever you might like to do, we are here. We are ready to help you get your financial house in order. You know, that's one of those things that we talk about, or that many people talk about at the end of the year. My New Year's resolution is to get my financial house in order. And that is one of those things that if you're willing to do a little bit of the preliminary work, you can actually turn that over to somebody and get the rest of it taken care of. You know, trying to lose 40 pounds, that's all on you. Trying to, you know, quit smoking, that's all on you. But getting your financial house in order requires probably 3 or 4 hours of your organizational time with some guidance up front. And after that, the structure can be made so much easier. The function of it all can be clearly aligned out. Because here's what you would get. Imagine this if you got your financial house in order. Imagine being able to have a website or an app on your phone that at any given time you could see where you stand financially. I'm not talking about just where your 401k is or what the money is you have in your bank. Imagine if you could look at a dashboard, just as you look at a dashboard of your car, and in about a 30-second view, you could see where everything was, your bank accounts, your 401k, your investment accounts, your annuities, whatever it might be that you have. Maybe it's stock options. Maybe it's a home that you own, money in the bank, loans that you have, insurance policies that you might have, credit card debt, student loan debt, all of it laid out on one piece of paper, not even one piece of paper, one virtual screen right there on your iPad or your computer. And imagine if you just clicked a few pages over, you could see, how am I doing as I approach some of the goals that I'm trying to achieve? What are some of those goals that you might be trying to achieve? Maybe it's paying for the wedding for my children. Maybe it's funding my kids' education. Maybe it's planning for retirement. Maybe it's buying a second home down in Florida or up in the mountains. Or maybe it's preparing for mom and dad to move into the house as in an in-law apartment structure. Those are major purchase decisions, and they have nothing to do with investments. They have everything to do with lifestyle and cash flow. And a financial planner, that's what we do. A financial planner covers far more areas that extend beyond just building investments. Helping you make large purchase decisions is one of the key pieces of advice that a financial advisor or financial planner does. Certainly a certified financial planner, and that's what we do at Friedman Financial. If now's the time to get serious about your financial planning needs, we're in January, we're heading into February, start of the year, get that New Year's resolution going, let us know. Give my office a call and we'll send you a free information kit. Our phone number at the office is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. And while I've been kind of just spending a little time promoting the business, let me also tell you about our free newsletter. Certainly, if you're new to the show, I know we've got a little bit of a changing demographic going on here at the station. If you're new to the show, sign up for our free newsletter. It goes out to 7,000 subscribers. It's free. We're actually celebrating our 10th anniversary of sending out planning pointers, and it comes out each and every Friday morning at 10:30 if you're on Eastern Standard Time. For those of you listening through podcasts or whatever, if you're in India or in Singapore or in Las Vegas, it may not come at 10:30 your time, but it does come out 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. How do you sign up for the newsletter?
Well, it's really easy. If you haven't been to my brand new website, which just launched last week, go to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Every page, every single page on the website, if you scroll down, there's going to be an opportunity on every page for you to sign up for the newsletter. All you've got to do is put in your name, your email address, and let us know how you heard from us, and you will be signed up and registered to receive your free planning pointers each and every Friday morning at 10:30 a.m. The other thing I promise to you, I do not use this email system, this newsletter sign up, as a prospecting tool. You won't get us calling you. You won't be signed up to say, hey, we saw you signed up for our newsletter. Would you like to come in and schedule a free initial consultation? Bet you've had that happen before. Or you've gotten a call around dinner time that says, hey, we saw you poked around on our website, and we wanted to see if we might be able to answer some additional questions for you. No thank you, folks. We are a mature, established financial planning firm and have been doing it for 50 years. We know that the best financial advice for individuals and families comes when you want it, not when I think you need it. It's not for me to decide. You will know when the time is right for you to get your financial house in order, for you to get a second opinion on what needs to happen within your financial life, or if you've been overly inundated with calls, comments, thoughts, and input from friends, neighbors, and relatives, and you just want a clear, objective, independent perspective, that is when you will call, and that's when we will help you. I will not, I promise you, will not be reaching out to say, hey, is now the time for you to be doing this? I talk about that on the radio, but it's not real. We're not going to do that in the office. When you feel the time is right, then you call us, and we'd be delighted to meet with you. So one of the things that we left you with in the last segment was we were talking about how people, certainly in retirement, are thinking about using their money, because the thought was, for years, when you were 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, what's the advice that you could give to anybody who's 20, 30, or 40 years old about preparing for your financial future? It's very simple. Save money. Save money. Spend less than comes in every month and save some of that money, both in retirement accounts and in personal investment accounts. And I will tell you, people that we've met in their 50s, 60s, 70s, when they've come to the office, they say, you know, I really wish I took that advice more seriously when I was younger, but hey, we don't. So we can either spend time being miserable and looking backwards or saying, okay, let's take a look at what we have and how we're going to use money. Because the reality is, because people that are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s were so diligent about saving money because that's what they were told to do, they actually have more money than they possibly ever imagined, but they don't know how to use it to their benefit. And in doing so, they live a frivolous lifestyle. They're very careful and they worry, what if, what if, what if, what if? What if the market were to drop? What if my health got bad? What if I couldn't make it up the stairs anymore? What if we could only use one car? What if? And they worry. And what if the kids needed money? What if, what if? And the reality is that they worry so much that they neglect a life in retirement that they've so passionately worked hard to achieve. And the reason that they don't do it is because nobody ever taught you how to spend the money you've accumulated in retirement. I want you to think for a minute to any of the organizations you've been a part of. Maybe it's the business organization you're in. Maybe it's your local church, your local philanthropic group, whatever it is. And people always talk about the discretionary money, the endowment money, the emergency fund money, the money that we need if something goes wrong, or the money that we need for later. And we continue to build upon that money, and nobody ever wants to touch it. And we've grown so conditioned that the money that we've accumulated is money we don't touch unless we need it. But you will take all courses whatsoever to avoid having to touch that money. Same thing kind of happens in retirement. You've worked so hard to accumulate all this money, and you've seen over the past few years, if you've been invested in the stock market, a pretty nice growth rate on your investments. Pretty nice growth. You say, I don't want it to fall. I don't want it to drop. What would happen if it went down? And so you're reticent to touch the money. But isn't that why you built the money in the first place? Because now you need it. Unless you say, you know what? Maybe I won't touch it. I'll go back to work for a while. And some people choose to do that. And it's not even for a financial reason. It's for a mental reason. You want to be able to interact with human beings and people. I just had a person in my office this past week. He's going to be retiring the 1st of February. And he's more worried about what he will do from a mental standpoint come February 2nd or 3rd when he retires than he is about the money part. All of a sudden he realizes, when I walk out of there and I think the next morning, I can't swing by the office anymore just to shoot the you-know-what with the guys. I can't go out for lunch with the... They're working. Each day I'm going to get further and further and further away from the conversation of what's going on in the office. I'm going to lose connection with all of the acronyms that are built within our own business. And instead, I'm going to have nobody reporting to me. In fact, the only person I'll be reporting to probably is my spouse. And how will that be different in life? That's a challenge. And it's a challenge most people don't give enough credit to. They think of, oh, I'm going to travel, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Well, once you get that out of your system, folks, you have to think about what else you enjoy doing. So I ask you this one important question. As you begin thinking about retirement and heading towards that next plateau in your life where the money isn't going to come in from a paycheck, but the money's going to come in from sources such as Social Security or pension, or perhaps even your own investments. Ask yourself this: if you're married, if you have a partner, if you're living with someone, whatever it is, what do the two of you enjoy doing together beyond eating together? That is not an easy question to answer for many. I then want to ask you this other question. Give me five things that your spouse enjoys doing without you. Five things that your spouse enjoys doing without you. Why, in retirement, would you want that to change? Just because you're home, should that prevent the spouse from having to change their lifestyle from doing what they enjoy doing? Just as we tell our kids when they're getting ready to get married to have the conversation about money, making sure that you're clear on who carries what debt, how you might use money, how you're going to integrate money. These are some critical money questions to ask yourself as you approach retirement. What do the two of you enjoy doing together and will likely have to do more of in retirement? And number two, what are the things that you enjoy doing individually without one another? And are you fearful that you won't be able to do that once you're retired? Those are tough questions. And it has nothing to do which mutual fund or exchange-traded fund you choose to buy. It has nothing to do with that. Each week, we try to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. I hope you find that to be something helpful. And we'll be back with more. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Bill Haney has announced the 2018 season at North Shore Music Theater. And Mamma Mia, you won't want to miss a show.
Mamma Mia, here I go again.
Every day will be a holiday when we kick off the season with everyone's favorite auntie.
We think you're just sensational, Mame.
She's funny. She's glamorous. She's Mame.
Strike the band off. It's today.
I'll never grow up.
With a sprinkle of pixie dust, you and your family will fly past the second star in the musical adventures of Peter Pan.
Take a look at me.
Then get ready to have the time of your life at Mamma Mia.
You are the dancing queen, young and sweet, only 17.
The musical phenomenon featuring ABBA's greatest hits that will have you coming back again and again.
Mamma Mia, now I really know. My, I should not have let you go.
Then and you will be haunted by the dark gothic thriller Jekyll and Hyde. And you can't stop the beat when we end this blockbuster season with the smash hit feel-good musical, Hairspray. Become a season subscriber and see all five shows from the best seats at the lowest prices. Book your tickets at nsmt.org and make a memory to last a lifetime.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. About half past the hour. Hope you're all doing well. This is my first Sunday back since the beginning of the year. I spent some time traveling with my family. In fact, we did a family vacation that included four other families, all cousins of my wife's cousins and brothers and sisters and family. There were 21 of us in total. And some of you might think that that would be an absolute disaster if you think about which family you would choose. And honestly, depending upon which family I chose to, which segments, it might have been a disaster. But this group, it was awesome. We had four couples, of course, and their children. And there was a total of 11, maybe 12 children that went along between the ages of 11 and 21. We also brought along my mother-in-law, who I've never seen a woman so happy around her children and grandchildren, because no one was asking her to have to do anything. Imagine if you could take your parents, or maybe as an other-in-law, whatever. Maybe you could take someone with you. We're the eldest of the group. My mother-in-law paid her own way. She paid her own airfare. She paid for her hotel. But beyond that, the kids, the four major families, paid for everything. And we told her she was on scholarship. And we paid for all the dinners. We paid for all the excursions. We paid for everything. And she had never been in an environment like that. All her life, she had grown up paying for this and paying for that and wanting to be generous this. But, you know, now you're talking 21 people. How many times are you going to pay for this or pay for that? And we wouldn't let her pay anything. And she just got to enjoy her grandchildren and her children. And one of the things that, I don't know if you've ever done this before, and it's always available to you if you go to a nice resort, there's generally a photographer on staff at some of the nicer resorts. Now, we were at a Hilton. I can't say it was the nicest Hilton. It was a Hilton in Puerto Vallarta. It was mediocre. The scenery was beautiful. The hotel was okay. The food was not good. But the environment that we were in, the beach, the pool, everything else was great. And we actually went off-site for a lot of meals. But we hired the photographer that was on site there. And what he does is in his case, he didn't even charge for a sitting fee. He took us for over an hour and a half and took pictures of family groups, whatever clumps we wanted, individual pictures, both in and around the hotel, out by the beach, out by foliage areas, whatever he wanted, whatever we all collectively wanted. And he had some great ideas as well. And the following day, he edited a whole bunch of the pictures. He took 417 pictures that he actually kept and edited some of them out, showed them all to us. And we could buy the pictures, of course. The pictures started at $15 a piece if you bought less than 10. If you bought more than 10, the price would continue to go down. So we just said to him, look, what would it cost to buy them all? All 417 of them. And he was kind of taken aback a little bit. And I said, well, what they do is they give it to you on a DVD. So it's all high definition pictures. He also downloads it to a site so you can upload them all high definition. High definition. And he says $600 for all of them. So what we did was we each threw, and he'll give you five DVDs. So each of us threw in $150. We each get our own DVD with all of the pictures on it that we can do whatever we want with it. Turn it into those canvas on demand pictures or any of that other stuff. Folks, it's a great deal. Now that's $600 is a lot of money if you were one family. We had four families on there. Imagine what you could do as one family. I'm telling you, when you go away on these vacations, when you want to take, and that's the new trend right now is, you know, what do the kids need these days? What are the kids, you know, you've got, as grandparents, sometimes your kids are making far more money than you ever imagined making. Yet the reality is, in some cases, that your kids are spending far more than they're making, and they still can't seem to figure out how you used to make your ends meet when they're making $300,000 and you're making $80,000 a year. How do you do it?
And the people that are making $300,000, these your children, are saying, but I don't spend much money. It's all a lifestyle issue now, isn't it? Everybody has a different lifestyle. And I'm not to say who what the right lifestyle is or the wrong lifestyle is, but you need to live within your means. And as a retiree, I'll tell you a little secret. I'm not a retiree, but as you be potentially listening as a retiree, your children, as much as they don't say it, are living life to its fullest because they know you won't spend all your money. I have those conversations with your children, and I tell them it's a mistake. But if you continue to have, let's say you have a net worth of $1.5 million. $1.5 million, meaning you have your house is worth $500,000, and perhaps you have investment assets worth $1 million. And let's say you want to spend roughly $80,000 a year in retirement. You know that $30,000 or $40,000 of it comes from Social Security. And then you have another $1 million in investment assets for which you need to draw another $40,000. Your children are going to inherit $1.5 million. And you're thinking, oh, well, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? I'm not saying it is one way or the other. But could your lifestyle be a little bit different if you decided to spend $60,000 from your investments rather than $40,000, or spend up to $100,000? Or maybe for a few years, spend $10,000 or $20,000 on a vacation? You could. But your kids know that you won't. Folks, I'm telling you the truth here. They all say, Mom, Dad, spend the money, spend the money, spend the money, spend the money. And they mean that, but they also know that you won't. That's the truth. When you see your kids, I mean, look, there are many other children, of course, and I'm not saying all. There are those other children that are making a good lifestyle, a good living, and they're putting money aside for their future. But could you say that for all of the siblings in the family? Chances are that's not the case. I can't tell you how many people we have met that as part of the fact finder that they fill out when they come to visit us include the anticipation of an inheritance as part of their retirement. And you may be okay with that. You may be saying, well, that's what I'd hope. And others are saying, what are you talking about? I don't have enough money to retire. So there is a leap of faith that we need to take in retirement. There is a leap of faith that says, I need to get away from old school retirement thinking and live in contemporary times. And I frankly think that's kind of the direction that this radio station has gone in over this past month of its turnover and the music that you're listening to. They've recognized that, look, we need the basics. We need the foundation of classic hits. The classics that have worked all the time, that everybody, no matter the generation, all knows them. But we need to add in the element of contemporariness, of the added new sounds, the new voices, the new approaches to music, just as what we need to do in our own approach to financial planning. It's different, and it's easy to be resistant to change. Frankly, the generation that's hardest to change is the oldest generation. What you might find interesting is a story that came out of the Wall Street Journal that talks about how the youngest generation, the 30, 40, and 50-year-olds, have missed out on the stock market uptick. They're in cash. Yeah, they're in cash. It's an amazing story that appeared in the journal that talked about how you always thought that as you got older, you'd get more money out of the stock market and into the bond market, right? Everyone talked about that. But that was when bonds were paying 5, 10%. You really can't do that anymore. But the younger generation does not trust the stock market. They do not trust the government. They do not trust anything. And they figure cash is king. What they do trust? Startups. They trust highly risky investments that talk about dreams and hopes and potential for achievement. It doesn't even have to have any substance or numbers behind it. That's what they trust. So they'd rather invest in the stock in the company that they're in. They'd rather invest to work to try to get equity in a startup firm And the rest they leave in cash. You know why? Because oftentimes they need cash to buy in to the startup firm. Oftentimes they need cash to help them move to a new location. Oftentimes they need cash because they want to add to the debt on their home or their kids' education. It's kind of odd when you think about the fact that the people that should be investing the most in the stock market should be the youngest generation, but they're not. They feel like they don't have to take the risk because you already did, and you benefited from it. You were rewarded from it, and you don't know how to live with the money you've accumulated. So you have this very, very simple lifestyle with a lot more money than you imagined. Your children have a very extravagant lifestyle with a very simple mentality to putting money aside for the future. It's an interesting conundrum we face. It used to be that, oh, with all of this new money coming into the markets, all these new young people making more and more money, the stock market will continue to surge. The stock market has continued to surge because of you, the retiree, those that are active investors in 401k plans. Many in the younger generations believe that there's too many millionaires and billionaires out there. You've heard Elizabeth Warren talk about that expression, and perhaps there are. But if we want to stop the millionaires and billionaires from making money, it's very easy to do that. You just don't participate in your 401k plan. Because if you don't participate in your 401k plan, you're not adding fuel to the uptick in interest in public stocks that are out there. I know it's kind of a different kind of thinking. But you know, as investors who have been invested in a long time, you want to be participants in this economy. You're not complaining that your investment account went up for the past 10 years. Yeah, 10 years. 10 years. Did you know that we've had 90 consecutive months of the stock market going up? 90 consecutive months. That's outrageous. Will the stock market pull back? Well, let's say it pulls back 15%. Let's say it pulls back 20%. Oh, gosh, if it pulls back 20%, imagine how the media will play this. Imagine what they'll say. And when we get back, I'm going to tell you about how a 20% impact to the stock market will impact your portfolio. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Last and final segment of Dollars and Cents today. We are here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Our office is located on the second floor of that two-story building right across the street from the North Shore Mall on 41 Cross Street. If you've been to Alto Forno, the restaurant, which fabulous restaurant owned by the Mamola family. We occupy the second floor. They occupy the first floor. It's just us. Plenty of parking if you want to swing by. We would love to meet with you. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, give our office a call for a free initial consultation. Phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. 531-8108. This is my first day back for 2018. I've been out the past couple weeks on a family vacation and delighted to be here with you today. As you've probably noticed, things have changed here at the radio station a little bit. Music has skewed a little bit more to contemporary, but also the integration of adult classic hits. It's an interesting format. Everybody's getting their feet wet and trying to understand how best, what they like most about the format. And of course, there's always tweakings, I'm sure, that will come along the way as this is a newer format. But the whole idea is to keep it local, and I'm here local because we provide local financial advice in a language you can understand. Since 1968, our 450-plus households that we serve, 90% of them live within 15 miles of my office in Peabody. So we are truly local, been doing this for 50 years. People have come and gone. Think about all of the retail shops that have come and gone over the past 30, 40, 50 years that were your go-to places, the places that you would always think of going. Think of the Leachmere, right? Leachmere is gone, right? Ann and Hope is gone. Circuit City is gone. Lums is gone. El Torito is gone. Almy's is gone. Bradley's is gone. Caldor is gone. I mean, I could just keep going on and on and on. These were all the places we went to. But if you still have a Caldor or Bradley's or Child World mentality with your investment strategy, you've been missing out. And one of the things that we talked about was the fact that many of our children were best educated by us who had a Child World or Bradley's or Leachmere attitude towards money. And in many cases, we scared the living daylights out of our kids, so much so that a new recent report from Wall Street Journal suggests that kids, 20, 30, 40, 50-year-olds, well, 50-year-olds, I don't know if I'd call them kids, but maybe I should because I'm 51, are still under-investing. They'd rather buy homes, they'd rather invest in real estate, or keep their money in cash. Well, many of you have found much of your success by being long-term investors who didn't try to be tactical in the markets. You just bought and hold and you stuck to it and made some tweaks along the way. You got some advice from a financial advisor who let you know that investing is financial planning is more than investing. You need to answer and address all of the other issues in your financial life. But here we are today, sitting at an all-time high in the markets. We crossed 25,000 points on the Dow Jones Industrial Average, 7,000 points on the NASDAQ. And we've had a run-up since 2009 that has been unprecedented. So what do? Everyone say, well, you know, the market's bound for a pullback. People have been saying that for 10 years. And I would never disagree with anybody through all of those 10 years. I anticipate a 10% pullback, a 15% pullback, perhaps even a 20% pullback. Oh my God, what would happen if we had a 20% pullback? Do you know who would worry the most? Do you know who would worry the most about a 20% pullback? Is anybody who decided to start investing within the last 12 months. Because let's say you take 20% off of 25,000, which is where the Dow is. You take 5,000 off of that, and what does that give you? 20,000. Do you know where the Dow Jones Industrial Average was before the election in November of 2016? 18,000. 18,000. So anybody who is an investor in the stock market before the presidential election would likely be making money still if the Dow dropped 20%. If you have experience, you know that markets go up and down. But there are those who, remember years ago, Alan Greenspan used the expression irrational exuberance. And we saw that during the dot-com boom. When, you know, pets.com and, I don't know, tires.com and the kid that bought an island and everything was going up. Every technology company was booming. None of them were making any money, but they were booming. And people would get in. You know, grandma would go down to the bank where she was getting a 4% CD at the bank, and she'd say, I don't need any of this crummy 4% CDs. I'm going to buy the puppet, the sock puppet. You know, the pets.com guy? He looks pretty good. And how'd that work out for them? It was miserable. That was called irrational exuberance. When you'd walk into the pizza shop, your dry cleaners, and your and your local hair salon, and they're showing CNBC and the Bloomberg tickers going across the bottom. You know it's time to say enough already when that starts happening. But what's interesting today is that that's not quite happening. There still is this restraint from many investors who say, I'm not sure it's the right time to get in still. I'm not sure it's the right time to get in. So when is the right time to get in? Oh, when it pulls back. When it pulls back, I'll figure out the right time to get in. Well, I'll tell you this. More people are more likely to get out of the market when it drops 20% than there will be people who get in when the market drops 20%. And how about those people that say, well, maybe I should get out now and wait till the market drops 20% and then get back in? Well, that sounds great when the market's up. But when the market is down 10%, you begin to all of a sudden have this conversation in your head that says, okay, is now the right time? Maybe it'll go a little lower. Maybe it'll go a little lower. Maybe it'd go up. And then all of a sudden, where do you start going for your tactical advice? You go to CNBC. You listen to Cramer. You start listening to all these different types of radio shows, and every financial services company in the world is buying ads on the radio and the internet, all trying to convince you that it's a great time or a bad time. Remember, no one goes to the radio. I used to be on TV a lot, but they got rid of me because I kept on. They would ask the question, where do you think the market's going to go this week? My answer would be, I have no idea. That doesn't sell ads. How about 10 years from now? I said, up. Market's going up. How much is it going up? I have no idea. That is the most honest answer you could ever give to anybody, but that doesn't sell ads. Remember, television, radio, internet, they're in the entertainment business. The entertainment business. The only way they make money is by selling advertisements. And the more people watch, the more they're able to charge. Thus, the reason why the Super Bowl is the most expensive ad in the country year after year, because there's more people watching than anything else. Think about that. And you know, it's interesting. And as advertising has changed, certainly on television, how often do you watch ads on television these days? How often do you actually watch television at a show's scheduled time? Right? We're always watching something else. And doesn't it drive you nuts that you turn on the show and it starts with an ad and they say, oh, you can't fast forward this ad. You can't fast forward through it. Well, they've kind of tried to figure that out. They got to make their money somewhere, right? And that's what happens. But there's two places where you won't look for old news, old things. Number one is sports. When you're watching sports, you're a captive audience. No one wants to watch the ball game after it happened 3 days ago. You're a captive audience. You can't fast forward through the commercials unless you maybe start the thing on a 15-minute delay and then start your game and you can fast forward. So most people end up watching the commercials. That's why they're so expensive. The other place where people watch the commercials, the news. If you're watching the news, you're not fast forwarding through it, are you? The news has their opportunities. And so business channels, CNBC, MSNBC, Fox News, Bloomberg, whatever it is, they have the ability to sell ads that have value to the advertiser. Think about that. And so the more provocative that they can be on the radio, the more likely they are to have sustainable advertisers. Always, always, always remember that. The true answer to where is the market going to go next week, a year from now, a month from now, is I don't know. Nobody knows. In fact, Bob Dahl, who's a famous economist now with Nuveen Investments, he comes out with a report every year. Bob Dahl's 10 predictions for the upcoming year. And Bob Dahl will roll out 10 predictions. They're usually not too provocative. They're pretty mediocre from his views, but even in the stretch that he might take for some of his for what his views are, he generally gets about half of them right. Okay, so imagine this. So this is one of the most watched economists of the year to come out with his top 10 predictions, and he gets half of them right. Now, are you expected to make your financial decisions based upon the half that are right? Or are you going to go on all of his 10 predictions? Or are you going to just pick two or three of them? If you pick two or three, what's the likelihood that you're going to be right on all two or three of those? Maybe half, probably even less than half. But so many people rely on what they say. The best advice that I can give you after doing this for 27 years and not being an institutional investor. Institutional investors means that I give this money to the Harvard Endowment or to wherever, and they don't need to touch the money for 100 plus years. Endowments, institutions are built to live far longer than any of us. When you're doing personal financial planning, it requires a totally and completely different mindset. What's the likelihood that you're going to invest money and never touch it for 100 years? Not going to happen. What's the likelihood that you'll periodically add some money, periodically take some money out, get gifts from grandma, or add some money to this account, or have to spend an extra amount of money for a car or a vacation or a home or whatever? All of those factor into the performance and the appropriate investment strategy that you need. An endowment need not worry about that. They have far more money coming in than money ever going out. Financial planning and investment advice in a language you can understand is what you need. You don't need the advice of the talking heads that are talking from a perspective of institutional investing, super high net worth investing, trading and tracking stocks. Don't make it that complicated. All you need to do is get your financial house in order. I don't care what age you are, whether you're 30, 40, 60, 90, everybody needs to get a snapshot of what their financial life looks like today. If you're under the age of 50, here's my advice. Save more money. When you get over 50, you begin to think to yourself, oh my goodness, I'm starting to reach the pinnacle in my life where I'm not going to get a paycheck at some point. Am I accumulating enough resources? Have I taken care of ourselves, myself, my spouse's self, to make sure that we have enough to support our life in retirement? Don't hang around waiting for mom and dad's inheritance, because you know what? Mom and dad aren't dying at 70 anymore. Mom and dad could live to 90 to 100 years old. And then those of you in your 60s, 70s, and 80s, make sure that you're taking money from the right places, not paying more tax than you need to. And especially with the new tax laws that have changed, make sure that your financial planning strategy is appropriate for today's current tax laws. If any of those items pique your interest and you want to have a further conversation, I welcome you to call my office. Phone number 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We'll schedule a free initial consultation for you. Or perhaps you'd just like to learn a little bit more about us. Visit my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. At every page on my website, you can always sign up for our free newsletter. It comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 a.m. All you need to do is put in your name and your email address, and boom, you are joined with the other 7,000 people that receive this free weekly newsletter that's been going out for a little bit more now than 10 years. We're up against the clock. I got to make room for Aurelia Nelson and Curtain Up and all of the other great shows that follow mine. And thanks, of course, to Paul Parent, who preceded me. We got to get out of here. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.